Boom.
Bam. What's good? What's good? Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Reptiles Unplugged show. This is your host, one of them, Adam Beachbum Exotics. You can find me on all the normal socials, Facebook, Instagram. But when you search, just make sure you don't put an E in exotics. I'm over on Morph Market as well with some available animals. And I've got my awesome co-host with me tonight.
And my name is Shane, Small Town Exotics. You can find me on Patreon, smalltownexotics.com, Instagram, all of those places. And our wonderful technical producer, Jay Greenline Morse. Look him up on Morph Market and Instagram. And with all three of us, man, we should be able to make your day and have some fun.
Yeah, I agree. Going to be a good show. Just a little recap about last week. Last week's episode was awesome. Definitely up there for interviews in general for me over the course of the years. Charlie did a really good job from shedtesting.com. So if you missed it, go check the replay. Leave us a little comment. Would love to hear the feedback, man.
Let me comment on that. That was a really good, easy episode to do.
It was. Yep. Yeah. Easy. Yeah. I was going to say, before we jump too much into it, I know you had some order of business.
Yeah. So I have to admit that I forgot to do that on one of our rewind episodes. So I feel like a piece of doo-doo. So I'm getting back on track. This week's shout out of the week is Jamie at Graceful Pythons and Prints. Why Jamie? Not for any one thing in particular. It's just because she's Jamie. She is motivated. She's confident. She's got plans. She's got goals. And like she takes no shit. She's a badass. Yeah, she's a badass. So
takes no prisoners.
Yeah, yeah. And her husband's printing all like the cool snake hides and gizmos and gadgets and stuff. And they're just a great couple. Family run operation. So go check them out on Instagram, Graceful Pythons and Prints.
Love it. Cool, man. Love the shout out. Good one. Yeah. And let's go through some chat. I already see some funny ones in here. And give some recognition to the people that join our live stream here, because we appreciate y'all. And first up, you know, Ashley, I'm going to give you first. Shane, you know, 414. What is that? Jumping in there. Catalina Morph Mixer. Ashley, thank you for being in chat always. Then the homie, we got Jay out there. Thank you, sir. We got Dwight, the pie man. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. We got Jay. And Jay states, Bigfoot is interdimensional, Shane. Gonna be a damn fine show. I agree, Jay. And on both points, dude, that's the only way Bigfoot is legit, is if he can travel through dimensions. That's it.
Yeah, they must all go through the dimensional portal to die, and that's why we never found any bones.
Right. Yeah, I think all of them, it's part of their ceremony that they throw them through the interdimensional portal.
Yeah.
Shauna, hey, thank you for making it. Always. We got Chris, Mr. Eaton, thank you. Fat Man Nation, gentlemen. Room. And we got Will's Hella Heat. Good job, my friend. You reminded yourself. I appreciate it because I forgot to remind you. I did. Oh, man. Too good. James Garino, good evening. Good evening to you, sir. Warrior Garden Exotics, the sum it all up. And with that, we got Sloan Morphs as the last one. Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate you all joining in and chatting in there. So, cool, man.
Let me answer this. I've never found bear bones, but I found bear scat. So there's that.
I've seen bears, like lots of bears in the wild. Yeah.
There's that point too. I mean, we've got bears in the zoo.
We breed bears. If you find me a Bigfoot breeder, all right, I'll owe you $1 million. Oh, man. Another good one. I was thinking, you know, because I got my Amazon subscription of Gushers.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So are you a Gushers or a fruit roll up type of guy?
Me, I'll do Gushers, you know.
Yeah, Gushers all day long, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's some innuendos going on here, but yeah.
You guys are anti-footy.
Yeah, I'm an anti-foot tight.
Yeah, 100%. I could think you could read. I read that as footies, but you're right, it is foot tights. Yeah. Oh, thank God, thank God. There's two of us on the show, you know. Too funny. Well, hey, any snake business that you've had this last week? Anything fun? Anything cool?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a whole week, and I've slept a few times, so I'm sure there was, and I forgot stuff. You know, I got clutches hatching and clutches putting away and stuff like that. I don't know if I brought it up here, but I hatched a really cool clown that I like. It's a Russo red stripe spot nose yellow belly clown. That thing is like, man, nice. I really like the way it looks.
And yeah, Russo's really kind of one of those genes, right? Like,
it's a sleeper.
Yeah. I think when it's layered the right way, it's got some impact. Unlike some of the bells, like Mojave, especially in clown, lesser, kind of hard to work with because it just kills that color palette. But the Russo, I don't know, it seems to allow it kind of through. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, dude, if Will's agreeing with you, then it's a real thing.
Yeah, definitely. You have some really exciting snake news. So don't be humble. Go out here and brag. Let's hear it.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, for not really knowing if I was going to breed this year and just kind of starting a little late, I did get a clutch. Hopefully, have a few more. But the clutch that I got is a pretty cool one because both sire and dame bred by me, raised up here, so all in-house. Mom was a chocolate pinstripe desert ghost het hypo. Dad was a chocolate desert ghost het hypo. Five eggs, and it looks like I did hit a super chocolate pinstripe desert ghost hypo. I was hoping to hit less pinstripe. You and I kind of talked about this. Out of the five eggs, like, I think three or four of them have pinstripe in them. So, I learned something by like kind of just looking on Morph Market. I guess the super chocolate pinstripe is called the camo.
All right. We got a combo name.
Yep. So, you know, Desert Ghost Hypo Super Camo or just camo, I guess. Camouflage, something like that. Kind of a cool morph. It looks cool. So with the hypo, it made all the darks purple. And then the pinstripe gave it a really fatty dorsal stripe that's kind of gold color. So it's a purple and gold snake. That's pretty cool.
Like the Los Angeles Lakers.
Dude, it's a Laker snake, man. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Congrats to be like producing snakes again, man.
Yeah. Thanks, man. It feels good. Definitely. Yeah. Cool clutch. Everything's desert ghost. That's easy. Hypo ratio was pretty good too. I got 3 out of 5 or hypo. So that's not bad. And then one of the non hypos is a super chocolate desert ghost, which looks really good. Nice and dark and looks cool.
Yeah. I really like that one. Are you going to test that out for hypo?
I'm thinking maybe it depends what sex it is.
If it's a female.
If it's a female, I won't. I'll just keep it, right? And it'll just stay here. And then if it's a male, I probably will. Yeah, because if it is, then that'll replace Papa.
Yeah Papa. Big Papa pump. Yeah. Big You're Papa. Gone.
Yeah. Out of here. So, yeah, man. It feels good. Definitely feels good. I wish I had some more clutches. You know how that goes? It's kind of like, I got the itch again. All right, come on. So I got a couple more females that I got to bust out the ultrasound and see where they're at because they're showing all the signs. I should have some eggs pretty soon from them. So,
So I got to ask, since this is like, you know, you're just getting back in the swing, did you let them all pip naturally? Did you cut? Did you wait for one pip and then cut? What method did you use?
Yeah, so I got two pippers and then cut because this clutch actually reached day 60 Well, yeah, day 60. I got a pipper like the morning of 60, and then afternoon saw another, and I'm like, all right, time to go. And I whipped out the other three. The impatient side of me was just like, it was so funny because I was in a group chat the other day, and I'm like, I never cut. Like, here I am, like my only clutch possibly of the year. And I'm all, but hey, day 60, that eggs were completely, they were like, they looked ready. You know what I'm saying? They
right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I go back and forth. I don't have any moral standpoint on it, but I cut and I let pip, and I do the in between where there's a couple and I cut and whatever.
Yeah.
I just, yeah.
Yeah. Joel and I were talking a couple weeks ago about this because he's in the no cut club this year so far with all of his clutches. And he's seeing like kind of like, some like babies are taking the feeding a little quicker. They're going into shed right at the right time. You know, some of the issues that sometimes people see, he wasn't seeing. So I don't know, him and I were kind of playing around with the idea. Is it like a neurological thing that, you know, them using the egg tooth to get out of the egg, coming out fully on their own, absorbing all the yolk, all of that, is that developing their nervous system properly, which kicks in and then comes out, and then nature kicks over and it just, you know, they start feeding easier. I don't know. Right. I think enough people cut and have great results from babies as well. That was my counter to Joel, was that I think that there's enough evidence to show it doesn't really possibly matter, but maybe there's something there. I don't know.
Well, while we're on this topic, something that I've been doing in recent times with the ball pythons, and I actually started doing it with the hognose too, is like, I leave them still in the egg box, like a ball python, till the whole clutch is shed. Like, they're in the incubator the whole time. Like, I don't do the shed tub thing anymore at all. And like,
I do the same thing. I leave them in the incubator. I do put them on paper towel. I'll take them off the perlite and put them on paper towel. But yeah, that's it. Yeah.
When I was going like, okay, they're all out of the egg, put them on a wet paper towel shed tub, like, you know, with belly heat and stuff, I would have a bunch that didn't want to eat right away and stuff. But keeping them in the incubator, I think that just keeps their metabolism and stuff up. They absorb that yolk and they're ready to eat. You know, that's right. My theory.
Yeah.
And it's worked with the hognose too, which hognose, you know, can be a little tricky to get them eating in the beginning, but I just do a week with them in the incubator too. So, and then they come out ready to eat. Yeah. So I think there's something to that method, or it could just be me, you know, being superstitious, but.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I kind of agree. It's like a slow roll into the environment. You know, they're out of the egg, but they're still in that same environment that they came out in. Go right through their shed. And then after the shed, you know, you're probably at that point putting them in their own tub and then feeding. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, that's how I've done, like, even prior to me stopping breeding, that's what I was doing in my last, like, season and a half, was I wasn't pulling them out and putting them in a shed tub. I was just letting them shed in there. And all of those babies that I did that, ate the first time I offered food, like whole clutches. So yeah
the shed tub, I mean, I know it's on belly heat and like you got like a little fine layer of water in there, but if you stick your hand towards the front of the tub, it's cold, man.
Yeah
it's cold, and then like them snakes are all huddled up,
they ball the all up.
Yeah they're like, only the bottom couple are getting the heat, you know. So I'm just like, yeah, leave them in the incubator and they all seem to do better. So
yep,
that's my pro tip of the night.
Nice, dude. Good tip. Yeah. Good tip. I like it.
Yeah.
What's up, Herp and Harbins? Hey. Yep, Alicia or Josh. Either one. No, that's not Josh's account. Josh's account says Josh.
It's probably both of them.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, hey, man, the talk about last week's show, because there were some pretty cool things. So I thought it was interesting, kind of just starting from the top, him giving some really good advice. I saw your story. You already bought the little paper, you know, the little paper deals, right?
And I got red. And I got red ones. Red.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like, I got the 4x2, I think, inch red, 50 of them for like $12 or something.
Oh man, that's super cheap. Yeah.
It was really cheap. And I don't test like a million animals a year, so that might 50 of those might last me 2 or 3 years.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So I thought that was pretty cool, and reason being that reason why he said use the paper is because the plastic bags, you know, Ziplocs, plastics just in general, things sweat in them. Moisture seems to collect in them. So as it ships, maybe your environment's dry, so, and it feels dry to you, but there might be some moisture left in that shed, and it might take a week or more to get over to him. Could mold, right? And mold will kill the possibilities of accurate results, and same thing with moisture. So dry out the shed. Got a lot of good tips there from the chat. Yeah.
Let me add to that. It's an inconvenience for us when Charlie has to get a hold of us and be like, hey, I need another shed. That one was no good. It was too much moisture. But you're also costing Charlie more money because he's not charging you to retest that bad, you know, the good shed that you sent him the bad shed for. So, you know, save Charlie some money, and then we will benefit from that.
Yeah, save him money, save him time. Right. Like every phone call out is less time he's looking at results.
Right. So. And label your shed so he knows, and label your envelope so he knows whose it is. I couldn't believe he was like tracking people down and doing investigations.
That blew my mind when he was just like, yeah, you know, sometimes you have to reverse engineer stuff. And I'm like, dang, dude, this guy stand up. Because if that was me, I would just be like, you know,
they'll send them in again at some point, you know,
right? Yeah, they'll hook me up when they don't get their results, and at that point I'll tell them, well, send me one labeled, you know, and I'll run it.
So, you know, be a good customer to Charlie. Be a good customer to Charlie from our standpoint too, you know, like label your shed so you're not causing him too much work.
Yep. Oh, Alicia's getting ready for the Dallas trip. By the way, are you going to Dallas? Are you doing that?
No, that's too far of a run for me. And yeah, I only have, you know, so much time I could take off work. So I got to like spend that time wisely, you know. I do have a family and stuff too. I take time off for too. So, there's that. But
I think the Dallas show would be fun to go out to one of these times, you know. We'll see.
I heard it's changed a little bit since it went from, you know, wherever it was to Dallas, and because there's not all the same species are allowed because there's a city or county ordinance there or something.
I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, yeah, man. So we're about 20 minutes in. I think it's good that we maybe bring up. You want to announce who we're gonna interview next week?
Yeah. All right, drum roll. next week, we're wearing a women's friendly shirt. I am tonight. We're having a woman on next week, Tommy Gill of Inky Clouds. So, we'll have her on.
Sweet.
Talk about genetics and her little history. I know some of her history and stuff. She's an interesting character, so it'll be cool to get to know her better.
And kind of a cool follow-up to Charlie, because, you know, I know Tommy's got, like, she's breeding snakes, looking at it from our perspective too, but is heavy into the genetics, so.
Yeah, and I mean, she looks like Cruella DeVille, so I mean, that's cool too, you know?
Yeah. Is that safe to say, or will she get mad?
I don't know. Tune in next week. Yeah, I could have put my foot in my mouth. I mean, I do that a lot. So
I'll just laugh over here awkwardly, and I won't add on or help you out. I'll just No,
I'll joking. Be like, I'm an anti-foot type, though. I can't put my foot in my mouth. Yeah.
Oh, you're on a roll tonight. Good job, Shed. Good job.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I drank a Celsius after work, so I'd be like extra spry tonight.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's it. That's good job. Good man. Good man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little, man, it's been for us out here in Ventura a little warm lately. We've been like 85, which I know all the other country.
But look, I remember those days where like, oh my God, it's 85 out. It's a heat wave.
All right, but we have a lot of humidity, no air conditioning. Well, I mean, in here, I have air conditioning. Thank God. The snakes have air conditioning, but the rest of the house does not. And I've been working out in the sun all day today. Holy cow. Getting ready to pull all the racks out and epoxy the floor in the garage. Going to paint, put some lighting up, everything like that. So I've got a lot of work to do. And I figured while I was pulling racks out, might as well power wash and do a spring cleaning. That hasn't been done. And I don't know, probably over a year. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's
do you ever do that? Pull out the racks and.
Not since I've been here because my snake room is upstairs.
Yeah.
So I'm not breaking down Freedom Breeders and coming, you know, downstairs. I use a Swiffer and I have like one of those, like I bought it off a Facebook ad. That's like a gun vacuum.
Oh yeah. I can vacuum around, yeah. Yeah. The, for the cars, it's got the.
Yeah.
That works. So
I have other methods and like, dude, I should start investing in F10. Like I use F10 everywhere, man. Like I'm always F10ing everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on that Oxifer kick, that activated hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
I love that stuff too. But the F10. Yeah. Well, right on. Yeah. But that's what I've been doing, man, for like 4 days now. Like, taking a rack out, cleaning all that stuff. All right, then it goes in. Then I'll do the next one this next weekend. So over the course of the next couple weekends, have all the racks broken down and everything moved in the house.
So do you have a spare rack to put snakes in, or are you bagging them up when you do that? What's your
bagging them up? Yeah, okay. Bag them up. Then everybody chills for the day, just, you know, and then by the evening time, the rack is dry and ready to use again. So gets reassembled, snakes back in, or worst case, they'll chill overnight in the bags. Next morning, rack will get reassembled and snakes will go back in. So,
yeah, man. Yeah. I'm looking forward to a day when I'm like downstairs again, you know? So,
yeah. Yeah, doing that and should be cool. I don't know. The epoxy, it's something I've wanted to do because right now I just have the regular concrete. So I can't mop in here or anything. I vacuum and I do all of that, but I really want to be able to mop. So,
yeah. The epoxy floor is nice, man. I had that when I was in my like garage conversion. It was cool. It was cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got some snake news.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a blonde moment. Okay. So. I had a few females that were like right next to each other in my rack. They've been acting kind of weird. They haven't been eating. I haven't paired them since like June or something. And I started getting this feeling like, man, I wonder if they're sick. I'm going to have to like swab them, send some tests out to Rao, do the Nido thing. And I was like, well, you know what, Shane, why don't you ultrasound everyone? And then, so I did that. And then I saved them for last. I'm like changing gloves in between each one. They're not sick. They're gravid. Nice. They're just a smaller looking gravid than all the other girls I've had go this year. And I'm like, God, what an idiot, man. What an idiot. So,
well, way better than being sick. I mean,
You know, I never caught ovulations on them. They're not like,
super were they young big. Females?
Yeah. They're all first timers and stuff. So I missed the ovulations. They're a little bit smaller than like the bigger females that I normally breed and stuff. So, or that's bred for me this year. So it was just, I don't know. I just, and they all cycled together like right there too. So whatever. So yeah, I have three gravid females that I thought were possibly sick. So, you know, that's a good thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dude. love that, man. It can't nothing better than like, you know, like, oh man.
And one of those,
oh, you're just rabid.
Yeah. And one of those snakes, man, it's I was one of the lace guys that my snake was not a lace. So I have a $1,500 fire het clown that I bred this year.
Yeah.
She will be up for sale after she lays her clutch. She'll be considerably cheaper than $1,500 too. So just putting that
proven,
out
there. At least proven, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She'll be a proven non-lace fire het clown at that point, you know?
You know, so we're so lucky these days to have shed testing and everything like that, you know, because back in the day, that could have been a real head scratcher. You could have really been like, am I seeing lace here? Am I not seeing lace here? So.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So the short version of that, I would have assumed she was lace because of who I got her from and what the parent supposedly was. I would have bred her. I would have been banging my head against the wall, trying to ID these babies, picked out one or two bright ones, assumed they're lace, had somebody verify. They would have said, oh, yeah, that looks lace to me. I would have kept them, sold them. And then after a few generations, I'd be like, how come my lace don't look as good as so-and-so's lace over there?
Over there, yeah.
And then be like, that's not lace.
Yeah.
And go a step further. Maybe I got a lace male somewhere else and bred it to her to try to make a white lace to really prove it out. Man, you're talking years I would have wasted.
Years. Yeah. Years. Really. For real. Yeah. So we are really, you know, very fortunate. I completely, you know, look back and go, wow. So it's kind of nice. I like it. Hey, we missed this question earlier from Jay. Shane, are you expecting any all new Calico combo soon?
I do have something. I don't remember right off the top of my head. I do have something in the works. I do.
Cool. All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll have like ODYB Inchy Gene X versions. That's what I got in the incubator. I was like, okay. I know I got, but then I have something I'm breeding in the rack too. So I'm still just playing around with that. It's not like a big push for me here, but yeah. I'm trying to add more genes that I think will complement each other in that. So
nice. Okay. And remind me, Gene X again, what is that? Like, what is it?
So it really sets off in a visual pie. It's super bright. That was like one of Canova. I still call him JKR, but Canova's things years ago. Outside of pied, it's kind of hard to ID, but it kind of IDs similar to like Extreme Gene. It's a little brighter. It's got some tail, some tail swiping or whatever you call it, that melting.
Yeah, where it kind of swoops and melts. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that. So it really pops off in pied, though, is where you really see results in it. But yeah. I just figured, you know, it's in the mom and all that. So why not just beef it up and see what happens? So
yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I remember watching Justin's videos. That's right. It was Justin. About it, and then haven't heard anything in a little while on it. So that's
cool. It was big for like a year or two, and then nobody ever heard about it again.
Yeah, right. All right. So it's not me just living under a rock like that.
No.
Well, cool, man. I can't wait to see the results of that. That should be pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, I see Steven in the chat. He asked me a question when I was on Holdback Rec about like, what would you recommend a new breeder, like what projects and genes and like where would you steer them? So like my full answer, I don't think I answered it over there all the way, would be like that new breeder needs to pick a recessive or two, maybe something that complements each other, and a few codoms that they like, and run it by a mentor, you know, because I'm a big proponent against like shopping by price tag. I think you should be working what you like, because prices go like this all the time. And if you're like shopping high to low and you buy the peanut butter and jelly morph at 10 grand and next year it's $100, you're going to be pretty disappointed. But if you bought like G-Stripe clowns or something cool like that, because you liked them, or hypo puzzles or something because you liked them, the price is going to go like that, but you're still in it because you have a passion and a liking for it. So that would be my advice. And I would throw Cypress and Wookiee in there because I like them.
I think that's I think that's kind of like, it's a great answer, right? It's a safe answer, but it also is a real answer. And I think it depends on who's asking the question. Is this somebody coming to the table saying, hey, I've been researching ball pythons for like 3 to 5 years and I've saved up like 30K, you know, help me buy a whole kind of project scope of things to go into it. That's a little different than somebody who's like, well, I'm not even sure if I want to kind of breed. I think I do. So what type of animal should I go get? You know what I mean?
Right.
Anybody serious about it? I still stick with, you've got to like what you work with, because you're going to be opening the tubs every day to clean them, taking care of them. And like you said, if it's driven off of a price tag, man, you run the risk of opening that tub and being like, oh, all you see is a snake worth $100, but you paid 10K. You're going to end up, you know, despising that animal. Like, I totally agree with that. So that's first and foremost. And then I think beyond that, there is some market talk that could be had, right? Like going into probably some of the multi-gene clown stuff with other recessives, not a bad idea. People are always going to be buying it, but you need to be aware the market, what, how many clowns are on Morph Market right now? Like probably right. One of the most genes next to Pastel that's on Morph Market, you know?
Yeah. And that's why I mentioned like running that by a mentor. Cause say classic albino clowns catch your eye. Well, right. A mentor would be like, hey man, maybe you want to look at like Monarch, Candy, Ultramel, Lavender, and then come back to me and tell me which one of those versions, because there probably is not like a future in project wise in the classic albino. Sorry to anyone that's working that, but that would be my advice to somebody. So yeah. You know, you kind of steer, they need some guidance, you know.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. I like that answer. That's probably that's similar how I think I would have answered it too. Yeah,
give them some options out there. Here's all these other albinisms. Teach them about T positive, T negative, you know, and blah, blah, blah. Like if you like the albino style, like let's look at all that's available and then go from there, you know?
Yeah. But
the one you happen to pick was probably not the right one. Let's steer you in the right direction, you know?
Wish somebody would have told me that with my snow project.
But snow was cool back when you were doing it, right?
It was very cool. And I still like a white snake with red eyes. I think it's pretty, pretty cool, you know? So what else
you did? You know, and I think like to elaborate more on that too, is I think I'm guilty of it too. There's a bunch of us that did it 4 years ago or whatever, like treating everything like an investment and preaching that. And then that kind of like cultivated a culture of people out there that viewed everything as like, okay, I'm going to spend 10 grand on this snake and 2 or 3 years down the road, I'm going to make 150 grand and say they didn't even really like the project. They're buying in it as an investment from like a true investment standpoint. That's why I always say like, pick what catches your eye and you like, because you don't know if that investment is going to pan out. So hopefully you like the project you're working and you have a little bit of passion for it and, you know, you should do all right. But, you know, like I said, I was guilty of it back in the day. I bought in like that too. And I bought it and I know from experience, I bought into projects I didn't particularly like. And then I found out the hard way, like, you know, I don't really like opening these tubs. Why are they here? Well, because it was an investment and money. Whatever. They got it
right. Yeah, man. All right. Well said. I think so. I like his Jonathan's harder question here. What is What is a recessive that you would actively steer someone away from, even if they liked it, if they have the intention of breeding as a business? And then to follow up also, how do you balance being supportive while also being realistic?
Let me answer that second question privately. It would be privately on a phone call. Not in a group chat. I would tell them all this stuff. That would be my first critique on that. I see some people get whatever in a group chat. So, go ahead on. You answer the tough one.
The harder question?
Yeah.
So what is the recessive that you'd actively steer someone away from? He's not going to like my answer. At this point, it would be Sunset. It really would. Yeah. I think there's a few other recessives out there, and maybe even Puzzle would be a strong second to somebody brand new. Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those two, I probably would, if they were brand new, trying to build a foundation, of it. You know, I think there's some other genes recessive wise that a little stronger in the market, and longevity wise.
No, I agree with those.
Hey man, I mentioned my favorite gene right behind it, right? I don't think I would recommend Puzzle as like a first recessive, unless the person was coming to me saying, out of everything I've looked at, I keep coming back to Sunset or Puzzle, right? I would strongly recommend against it, but if that person said no, then hey man, what am I gonna say against it? You know, go for it.
All right, I'll give two. All right, my first one would be Zebra. I wouldn't recommend somebody new getting into Zebra. I have a hard time seeing it. It's still got a high price tag. Let the big dogs work with that and prove that it's going to do something cool. That would be my opinion to somebody new. Don't get into Zebra right off the bat. And then, genetic stripe. That's one of my true loves, but... Man, I mean, that's a hard sell in a old project. I wouldn't recommend somebody new getting straight into genetic stripe either. It needs other stuff like cryptic and clown, and it gets a real complicated to work with that when you're adding all that other stuff. So there would be my two.
Yeah. And Will has a good point to Puzzle. Puzzle's easiest to get ahead and not be light years behind. I agree. I think the problem with Puzzle is that it is kind of niche. If you're in it, you love it, right? And you see the potential of it and you see all of that stuff. But somebody coming in brand new, again, it would kind of depend on how much money we're talking they have to spend, what their interests are, to begin with, what type of animal attracts them. So,
yeah, what their risk tolerance is, you know, there needs to be some conversations had too, like, is this your entire life savings? I'm going to recommend you don't do that. First of all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. So there's all those responsible questions that go into way before we even get to genetics, you know? So that would be mine.
Yeah. So Jonathan asked some good questions. So why wouldn't you guys recommend those morphs? Is it from business or breeding reasons?
Steven. That's Steven.
Or Steven. Sorry. What am I saying, Jeff? Yeah, Steven.
Well, with the Zebra, I kind of said, I mean, that's still that there's a high risk there. I mean, I don't personally see it.
And high risk, you mean to business, right?
Right. If somebody's going to drop a lot of money, because there's still a high price tag on that. So
not genetically.
Let the people that are playing with that, you know, do some more work with that before you decide to jump in there, you know, as a newcomer.
Yeah. My answer was from a business perspective as well. I mean, all the genes that we mentioned health-wise are good. They breed fine.
Just a business. I would stay with something a little bit more safe. There's other stuff out there to work with, so.
Yeah.
Who's running this interview anyways?
Yeah. Steven is. But good questions. I like it. It's food for thought. You know, it's stuff like that I think is kind of fun and important to talk about. You know what I mean? I don't know. I like questions like that. So it's cool. Thanks, man. Good questions.
These are questions I get. And I give that person homework before I give any advice. And if they don't do the homework, then they don't need my advice. Because I refuse to like, oh, here's 10 grand, 20 grand. I'm not going to just build a project that I think works because I'm not going to take on that liability. They have to understand there's a risk involved here. You don't always make $1 million and animals die and there's all these things involved with it, you know? So,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the first thing everybody needs to remember is these are animals and, you know, you do your best to keep them healthy and make sure everything's going to work out. But sometimes nature has a, you know, a different course. So,
yeah. Right.
Yep, 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 yep.
Here's one. Here's a good one for you, Adam. Just getting started on breeding next year will be my first year. I'm in love with Highway. Any recommendations for a first timer?
First timer. Yeah, if you really like the Highway stuff, I would probably recommend you look at like asphalt and gravel and just get a super form of either one. Don't go the actual Highway route. So that way you're working with the offspring or just gravel or just asphalt, depending, you know, which direction you go. That would probably be my first recommendation. And then I would pick a recessive, like Shane is saying. Something that you like and try and either get a het with it, or if you can afford it, go grab that visual, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. And you can look at, like Adam was saying too, there's the alternative, ALS acts like super in the yellow belly complex. You got Spectre things. There's all these other combos that make cool stuff that are similar to Highways and Freeways and they're really cool. And Leopard goes good in all of that stuff in that complex. So look at Leopard. I like Leopard in that stuff. So
yeah, for an incomplete dominant to add in there. Yeah, dude. Leopard makes some really nice contrast. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, hey, welcome to the party.
Yeah. Yeah. NK died. Woo.
Let's see. What was Kane saying? Keep Kane. You may have already touched on this one if you did. I'll catch it in the replay, but if not, what do y'all think about paint? I've been obsessed with it. It's an older gene, but it still holds value. I'll let you go first on this one. What do you think about paint?
I think paint is a cool gene. I've always slightly had my eye on it. I would definitely do your research on it. It has been around. It's proven. You may even still find Sentinels out there. They're compatible. If they're not the same thing, I don't know the genetic up-to-date thing on that, but Sentinel and paint considered the same thing by many, definitely compatible. So if that's the way you want to go, I mean, I don't dissuade anyone from working that project.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's cool. Where would you take it? What would you be your first step?
Genetic stripe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend other people doing that, but that's where I would go.
So all right, you take it into the Kiki project, right?
Why do you say that? Well, you know, I could parlay it into the G-stripe clown from there on out, but you know, genetic stripe, man, I just think there's other things that we could do to like break it up, you know.
Okay. So,
acid and confusion breaks it up and does some crazy stuff to it. That's known. Yeah. Let's see what else will do it, you know? So,
yeah. I know Will Hellaheat, I believe he's working on like the puzzle angle. That should be kind of cool.
Right.
That's probably where I would go, or maybe I'd probably go hypo initially, right? If I was just to pick one recessive to go, I'd probably go into the hypo realm. And then that would allow me to layer it into a couple different projects that I'm working. So.
Yeah. There's that strategy too. Like that works in Adam's collection, like a hypo version. Wouldn't do me too good over here. Like Desert Ghost Clown, Genetic Stripe would help me parlay it into every direction in my collection. So
yeah.
I mean, I do have a little bit of hypo, but that wouldn't be one of my strong suits. So,
Ashley's got a question. What recessive genes do you think are being slept on right now? Recessive, huh?
Well, I would say paint. Like, there was like a push for it there a few years back. And it seems like it died off. Yeah. And I know there's the hardcore, like, niche crowd on that. I just, there was a bunch of noise about paint 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it was, but you don't see it anymore. So I would say paint's being slept on a little bit. I could be wrong on that.
I mean, yeah, it's less worked, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Slept on. I think so, but recessive, it's kind of hard, right? Because like back in the day, I always used to say, tri-stripe. I like that, Jessica. That's a yeah. good one. But, yeah. you know, like there are the people pushing tries. Hypo, I think, is an undervalued gene. I don't think it's a slept on gene because there's a ton of it out there. But I do think that it doesn't quite get the credit that it deserves.
Yeah, but I think it had a I think it's redeemed itself because last time I checked, a hypo clown was worth more than a DG clown.
I mean, yes, but yeah, but that's like market saturation though on the DG clowns, hey, right?
A win, a win is a win, man. A win is a win. Because I'm all about hypo. I always thought like, man, they need to be priced way higher than what they are, but whatever.
Yeah, I've always kind of felt like that about hypo. I think it does a lot, and it kind of gets punished in the price, you know, of it. But that's great for me, actually, because when I look at some projects and I'm like, all right, let me go see what the hypo cost is with maybe the het in the recessive that I want to take it into, either it be right. DG or puzzle. And it's always cheaper coming from that route.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Keeper Came Hype was a big player in my future plans. Yeah, man, it's all throughout. It will soon, in the next probably two seasons, be the dominating gene in my collection. And I wouldn't mind at some point if everything was at least hypo that I had. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hypo's a champ, man. I like it.
Yeah. Am I breaching? Breach.
Let me ask you this. So this may just be my brain, and I'm trying to check myself. This is a sanity check. So I know Hypo and Desert Ghost. Even you can even count the albinos in this in my head. But to me, I know they're recessive, but like in my head, that's like a complementing recessive. Like mm-hmm. I don't think like that's like in my head. I'm not no shade on anyone that's doing it, but in my head, that's not like a full project. Like to me, you got to have a pattern recessive and then you add a hypo, a desert ghost or an albino, like a color changer. But to me, you have to have like a pattern version first. Am I wrong? Or am I crazy? Well,
I don't know. I mean, I see how you're looking at it. I don't think you're crazy, but I'll say this, right? Like you can find some pattern mutations in incomplete dominance like Hurricane, right? Mm-hmm. You know, various others, right? And then you just take that into hypo, and you like a Hibusa hypo is gonna be crazy. That's a double visual That's recessive, basically, right?
You yeah, know yeah, 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 yeah. To those of us that know and look at it like that, yes, it is. Yes, I agree with you,
right? So I think your statement is true. If hypo's just kind of running on its own, it kind of lacks the pillar to be its own project just to push all the way through, right?
Right.
And then if you add some sort of other recessive mutator on there, like clown or pied or any of them like that are pattern mutations, then now you're starting to build something of a project that's going to be really cool no matter what incomplete dominance you start adding in there.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's how I kind of look at it. Like your pattern disruptor recessive is like your main cake. And then you layer on like a hypo or a desert ghost and then, you know, finish it off with some incomplete dominance. And there is your animal. That's kind of how it works in my head. But you know, that is, I'm putting myself in a box, and that's my limitations, you know?
Yeah.
I realize that's a weakness, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, like, if somebody came to me and was like, look at, I only want to work hypo, I don't think I would be mad with that decision.
No, I wouldn't. No, I like hypo. And then you know that you can get great animals at great prices that parlay right into your project.
So greedily push them into that decision. Is that what you're... Yes, you should I would go tell do like, that for my benefit.
I would tell them, like, let's add some pattern disruptors in there. Right. You know, I love pattern. Yeah.
Yeah, like this one right here. You know, I saw a simple GHI phantom hypo the other day that was pretty sick with no other recessives.
Right.
100%. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Jay throwing wild accusations out here. Calico's top three best codon changed my mind.
I don't want to change your mind. I kind of agree with you. I mean,
top
it's at
three.
Least,
all right.
I would say top five. I mean, it's.
It's now you're sliding. There. Now you're sliding.
Yeah. Well, I said I kind of agree with them. You know, I still really like the Wookiee chocolate thing, Cypress. Yeah. Those, like, man, I see those animals and I'm just like, man, those are. Like
the super
badass.
Chocolate that came out of this, out of my clutch. I'm hoping that they shed here in the next couple of days and I'll get some real pictures. Probably one of my favorite animals I've hatched.
Right.
That, you know, it's up there. Definitely top 5-6 with stuff like that. So I love it too, man. I think it's cool. I think with the hypo, it's going to be just, it's awesome. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I'd say which recessives do you think don't stack well together, Ashley? Sorry, I cut you off. What were you going to say before?
I was just going to add that hurricane's up there in the top two for me. Now that I'm like working with it, I really like when they're hatching. But I got this one, Ashley. When we're ready,
yeah. Bongo for me is also up there for incomplete.
Oh, you just made Kane's night. That's his favorite gene in the whole world.
Yeah. Bongo is really up there. So, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Here's Ashley's question. What recessive do you think don't stack well together? All right, Shane, go for it. I know what I'm going to say.
Genetic stripe pied.
Okay. Okay.
It's pointless. That's pointless.
Yeah. Too bad.
It's almost as bad. I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something a little controversial. It's almost as bad as a clown pied. There, I said it.
You're not a fan of the clown pied?
No, that's a lot of work just to put a clown head on a pied. It doesn't do nothing to the rest. Same thing with a genetic stripe. You get a genetic stripe head on a pied, and it's like, oh, those eye stripes are a little different. Like, nah, I wouldn't do it. No, clown pied is better, but genetic stripe pieds, I wouldn't work it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Let's see. I mean, yeah, you definitely, I was going to say something pied, but I don't want to trash on pied. So I'm going to say puzzle clown only.
All right.
Now, just because it itself doesn't really create much anything visual. I think the project is worth it because it's two powerhouse mutator genes stacked in one, and you could go so many different directions with it. But, you know, I do believe that when the right combo comes out, there's going to be quite a few of us that will eat a lot of these words. But I myself wouldn't work the clown puzzle. I don't think it's worth the time right now. But if somebody is, like, look at Herbert from HB. Dude, that clutch recently, if you go look at his Instagram page, probably might even change your mind on what I just said. Sick clutch, right? But, yeah.
Yeah, so we managed to, like, we're going to have, like, pitchforks and torches beating down our door because we name-dropped projects, and people will be like, man, you trashed my project!
No, that's the beauty about this is that, you know, we're just two guys with an opinion, and they're ours. It doesn't and shouldn't shape anything. If you like something, go for it, right?
And yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And like Adam could witness years ago, I was like, G-stripe clowns are the future. And everyone told me I was stupid. And here I am still working for it. So, I mean, whatever.
Right. Hey, but you've produced some really cool G-stripe clowns. So,
right.
And you've liked them. That's all that matters, man. That's all that matters.
Yeah, man. I've had a bunch of fun.
Yep. That's it. There you go. All right, man, we've done a lot of gabbing tonight. We've covered almost a whole hour here. That's pretty good. You want to fire off one more time? Who's coming up next week?
Tommy Gill from Inky Clouds.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. And, oh, and she's over here by me somewhere too. Like, I think she's Virginia or something. I think
okay.
Yeah, that state does border my state. I'm just not exactly sure where, but it does.
Yeah, somewhere over there.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's another good question. Save that question next week, Ashley, and we will ask Tommy as well, because that's a fun one to throw out, especially with the guest.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely, definitely.
Oh, do we?
You want to do the thingy?
The ranking?
Yeah. Give me just 1 second.
Is Ashley the Chatty Cathy of the night again?
We'll see. All right, where's the pop out window, please? There you go.
While he's doing that, I'll tell you all a joke. So what do you call an elephant in a phone booth? Stuck. Boom, mic drop.
And that was perfect, mic drop. All right, and thank you for reminding us, Shane, because I think we forgot to do it last week with Charlie.
Well, I didn't know if we were doing it on guest weeks too or not. So
I don't know. Yeah, we didn't discuss that actually.
Yeah, so, yeah. We don't think ahead too much.
Yeah, yeah. The top fans tonight, the Chatty Cathys of the room, Ashley, Jessica, and Jamie. There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. With Chris, you know, also 75. So we had a bunch of people at 75 XP basically.
Right.
I don't really know what that means. But winner tonight, Ashley, Catalina Mars. Woohoo!
Well, that's two times in a row.
Keeping track, yeah. There it is. I am.
Good job, Ashley. Good job. Good questions too.
Yeah, bomb questions. No, really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody who's asking questions. Helps the show go, especially on the in-between weeks. Definitely appreciate that and gets some good discussion out there, which that's what we're all here for. So appreciate it.
Yeah.
You got anything else, Shane, that you'd like to leave the group before we probably get wrapping up?
I just want to say a disclaimer that if I said anything that hurt anybody's feelings tonight, message me. Adam had nothing to do with it. All right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Likewise, Shane had nothing to do with my opinions as well, but I might not respond to you. So, you know,
this was supposed to be a non-controversial drama-free show. And here we were, I don't like that one. And that one's garbage and throw it in the trash.
It's different than us just sitting here being like, somebody, this person, you know, we're just talking projects. We're just tracking projects.
Yeah,
that's all good. So, Will, we appreciate it, man. You came in sixth tonight, so yeah. All right. Well, with that said, I've had a lot of fun. Thank you, everybody. We will see you next week, same time, same bat channel. Later.